السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama Ikram, most respected brothers, and also our sisters that are listening at the madrasa over the receivers. Today's bayan or majlis is going to be of a very different nature, where I'm going to read out to you some letters which I have received. Of course, it's only the person who has written and the person who is reading who know what the contents or the entire contents of the letter are. But for the benefit of others, there are certain things that our elders have read out from the correspondence that they receive, so that people may take nasihat, so that people may take lessons, and so that people make tawbah if they are also indulging in the same sins. We know that the month of Ramadan came with its blessings, with its rahmat, with its barakat, and with the rains of forgiveness from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. What really made me give you such short notice of tonight's program was that on Saturday morning or Saturday afternoon, I received a call from a very well-known personality on Channel Islam. He was a Christian priest, an African Christian priest, and then he came into Islam. It's about 2 years now that he probably is in Islam. So he phoned and he asked a very difficult, pertinent, interesting, and also a factual question. Something that is happening. He says that I come from a different background, and something that I find very strange and very difficult to understand is that I noticed that in the month of Ramadan the masjids were full, so much so that even at the time of Fajr Salat I found that there were more musallis or larger numbers than we used to have on other days of the year. But it was very, very different. He says we found the masjid like it was full. But the moment the Eid was over, the very next Fajr, he says, on Saturday morning, Fajr, he says, I found the masjid again empty. Now he says, this doesn't make sense to me. Coming from a different background, he says, it doesn't make sense to me that what is it that makes the Muslims suddenly fill up the masjid, and as soon as the moon of Eid is sighted, then the masjid gets empty. So this was his understanding. He says, the impression I get is that the Muslim thinks business-wise. Everything he thinks business-wise. That if there's profit, if there's a lot of benefit, if there's a lot of dividends that the person is going to get in some kind of investment, or he feels that it's a season of business, so then he goes out of his way. He works day and night. He tries to make as much money as possible. And after that, it's all over. He says, that is the impression that I get, that this is how Muslims seem to be also treating Ramadan. That when the month of Ramadan comes, because of the virtues that we hear of Ramadan, so they go out of their way. You will find them making namaz, zikr, filling the masjids. Fajr time also, plenty of musallis. And after Ramadan is gone, then they think that now it has come to an end. So what else can I reply except that what you are saying is the truth? I said, it's very sad, but what you are saying is the truth. That unfortunately we have become Muslims for occasions. Big nights, we fill the masjids. Juma days, we fill the masjids. Eid days, the Eidgah has large crowds. When it comes to zikr, tilawat, ibadat, we find abundance of it in the month of Ramadan. But as soon as the month ends, it seems to end. But the reason for that, in my opinion, are two things. So firstly, Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sadaqat. I said, you are coming from a different background. You say you are coming from the Christian background. And being a Christian priest, you know very well whatever are the contents of the Bible. But the fact is that, in my opinion and my view, this is in fact a very clear sign, a very, very clear sign of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Because besides all his other mu'ajizat, besides all his other miracles, besides all his other teachings, which nobody has been able to find a fault with, if it is an authentic and a reliably quoted hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then no matter what a person may say, but later he will admit that what was in the hadith was the correct thing. So I said, besides all his other miracles, this is also one of the miracles, that whatever he said is nothing but the truth. And he has stated that when the month of Ramadan begins, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala chains the shayateen, the evil shaitans, those big guru gantals, those shaitans are chained. Those who take the person onto a lot of mischief, Allah ta'ala chains them up. So now this person has to only contend with his nafs. This nafs remains, but now it is a little more easier because he's only got to fight his nafs. And the clear and evident sign of that is that the moment the month of Ramadan begins, the moon is sighted for Ramadan, you find the masjids full. Then after some time again the nafs becomes ghalib, then you find again the reduction. Masjids become a little empty. Some places it goes down by 60%, some by 50%, and some even 80 and 90%. Then again when it comes to the 27th night, then the masjid is full. Or the 25th or 26th night, again you find people getting interested in filling the masjids. But it is a sign that whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned is the truth, that these evil shayateen are chained. So you can see that by these shayateen being chained, it is becoming easy for this person to fight his nafs. But the purpose for chaining those shayateen was so that this person may get an opportunity to make amends, to reform, to change, to build up that strength, that power, that courage, now to go on in the remaining 11 months of the year. That was the purpose. Not that he makes all the ibadat now because shaitan was chained, and after that now goes back to his old ways. 130737 ND Toyota Corolla. Somebody wants to come out, please remove your car. 130737. So it is not that it was just intended for Ramadan. Allah Ta'ala had made it easy upon the believers so that it may be now easy to fight the nafs for the rest of, and shaitan for the rest of the year. So that is one thing. And the second thing is, as I mentioned, that it seems that we have become Muslims for occasions. But what you are saying about business does not make very much sense, or although there is some truth in it, that when we hear about virtues, the virtue of this, virtue of that, then for that little while, during that period of time, we want to go out of our way. After that, we do not make any effort to stay away from the sins and other things. So I said, well, if a person is a businessman, then for example, in the month of December, we say it's a season of business and season of Christmas and season of letting the tills ring with the... So now this businessman, for the month of December, he works very hard and he sacrifices everything. He forgets about his food, sleep and drink and everything, and even his family. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day he works. But after Christmas has ended, when he realizes that now it's going to get quiet, in March or February, it's going to be a quiet period because people have now spent their money during the holidays and they won't have enough money left. So business normally drops. So the intelligent businessman, he doesn't stop there. After the Christmas, he doesn't stop there. The intelligent businessman, now what he does is he takes out sales. And he goes and looks for items and products which will be good sellers during those quiet period. And he goes out of his way to generate business by advertising that we have got two for the price of one. Sometimes doctors also advertise two injections for the price of one. But they have to do something. They have to advertise something. So they will advertise, they will do something to try and make the business grow, because they know that now it's a quieter period. So what a Muslim should have been doing, that after Ramadan, now he should be making that extra effort. He should be making that extra effort to see to it that what little noor he got in Ramadan is retained throughout Ramadan, throughout the year. So in this way we kept on discussing a few things, but it hurt me that here's a person that's coming from the outside, and when he comes inside, now he finds that this is the condition of the Muslims. So I had to tell him that unfortunately these days we have to say that Islam is in the books. I said, just as you studied Islam and then you accepted Islam, therefore you are convinced of its truth and haq. And no matter what the Muslim does, but it's not going to cause you to leave Islam. So unfortunately that is our situation, that these days if a person says, what is Islam? Then we say, read this book, read that book, read that book. And those days we used to say, read the life of that person, read the life of that person, read the life of that person, and you'll find Islam. Deal with this Muslim, deal with that Muslim, deal with that Muslim, you'll find Islam. Marry this Muslim, marry that Muslim, marry that Muslim, you'll find Islam. In everything we could point and say that this is a Muslim. Now that is the sad situation. So therefore I thought that even if we can save a few people from what is happening in the outside world, then it is indeed a ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So first of all, I would like to read out to you certain extracts from a brother's letter. He says that it is indeed with concern that I write to you regarding a student conference or lecture which I attended recently at the Technicon Natal. This conference or lecture turned out to be nothing but a gimmick and a publicity stunt by the newly appointed manager of the Suncoast Casino. It was of no interest to students, which they claimed in their information pamphlet. I was indeed shocked at what this marketing conference had revealed. The speaker revealed quite a lot with regard to Indians in Natal. He said that they were compulsive gamblers, and this whole new leisure and entertainment center, which is opening in the center of Durban, is targeting not only Indians, but Muslim market in particular. So this casino, the target is the Muslim market. He went on to describe all the different types of entertainment, the nightclubs, the restaurants which will be opening. And he said that our main target is the emerging Muslim market. They are aware of the Muslim interest in dining out, and they have decided to offer Muslims a diversity of tactics. The core of the complex will be the gambling casino. I was very shocked to hear all of this. It is ironic that this new establishment, which used to be known as Village Green, once a nice lush greeny area with an animal farm, has been built on the doorsteps of what is known as the Muslim Park. Just a few meters away from there, on the fence of this establishment, is the picnic and braai area, which is known as the Muslim Park, because Muslims are well known for having their picnic and braais at this area. This is an area where Muslims relax, pass time, and also perform the salat and what they call halal entertainment they indulge in. But it is very clear that this is going to be an attraction for Muslims from this park. It can be ascertained from this that this new establishment is striving to attract the Muslims to their nightlife and haram entertainment. And he goes on after that. And he was of course interested in some kind of a marketing or some kind of a job, because what he had read in the pamphlet, but he found it was not true. And he says, Maulana, I ask you to please make dua to Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala saves the Muslim community. And being a marketing student, I thought of applying for a job there, but I am glad after listening to your talks and meeting you also in person that I am now able to identify jobs which will be haram for me to work at. Had it not been for my attendance of your programs, I don't think I would have had the spirit. May Allah Ta'ala keep you in good health and may He bless you with everything. Now this is one warning for the Muslim community. Now this is right at our doorstep, and it is indeed going to take away a lot of our, not youth, but even adults, and our children too. Because what he is stating there is very true, that our mizaj has become the dining out mizaj. That we get tired of food at home. So we say, now take our families and go and start dining out. Again, don't misunderstand me, I'm not saying it is haram. If a person is traveling, or if a person now and again somewhere went and had meals at some restaurant where there were proper facilities, I'm not saying it is haram. So don't quote me that Maulana said it is haram. But what I am saying is that look at these people, that they are looking at our interests in life, and they say that the interests in life of the Muslim community, and it's an emerging market. So therefore he says to tap and to get this community into the casino, you have to give them the same things which they desire. And that is provide for them plenty of entertainment, plenty of dining facilities, and then advertise also halal. Chicken will be halal, meat will be halal. Because when that Muslim is going to gamble, the first thing he wants to know if the chicken I'm eating is halal, so that he can win a bigger jackpot if he eats halal. So they will give you all those facilities. Now at that time when you are going to see people ringing those machines and those bells, and when somebody will shout, there's a person won 20 million and 5 million and 3 million, and now you think our children will then have the power of resistance? They will wait for the father, mother, if that father and mother is a very pious person, so called, and that father and mother don't gamble. But now the children are watching all those things. When they will go away, then these children will end up there, and when they will become compulsive gamblers, and when they will wipe out the estates, and when they will wipe out the earnings of the parents, and when the parents will find their cash and the jewelry and everything missing, then they will cry and they say, Maulana, please give some taweez. Maulana, please give some taweez. My son has become a compulsive gambler. But if we go a little back and we will see that we were the ones that took them there in the first place. When they were little children, we took them there for what? For entertainment. We said that just watch how these machines operate. We don't have to gamble, it's haram. Just watch. And what about those people who actually put coins in front of their children or played the chips in front of their children? What about them? And how many people we know are already addicted? How many people are compulsive gamblers? And now right at our doorstep, and immediately after Ramadan, the place is already flooded. So this is what I'm saying, after Ramadan, what? Now after Ramadan, is it befitting of a Muslim to go and end up in these type of places? Let us not justify it. Then no, we don't gamble, we just go and... But even going and increasing the numbers of those people that are entertaining themselves with haram is haram. If we are going to go there, it increases the numbers of those people, even though we are not gambling, but we are observers there. And to stand and observe that which is haram, can it be halal? What must we do when we see something haram being committed? If a person is committing zina, must you stand and watch? Nauzubillah min zalik. We forget everything that we did. All those tears that we shed before Allah in the month of Ramadan, the zikr that we made, the tilawat that we made, the ibadah that we were making, the dini activities that we were engaging in, the hampers that we were distributing, the charities that was going throughout the world of that Muslim community. And now it's going to end up where? in haram avenues. So let us not be of those people upon whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's wrath descends. Take a lesson from what is happening around the world. In Bangladesh, 2,000 people were packing the cinema on an Eid day. On an Eid day, they were packing the cinema. And who doesn't know what happened after that? We sympathize with those who passed away. And we sympathize with those who suffered losses. But we have to take a lesson from there. That had that death been in Arafat or Muzdalifa or Mina, we would have said, MashaAllah, SubhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala gave them shahadat at a Mubarak place. Even if 1 million died there in Arafat, I will still say, Alhamdulillah, MashaAllah, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala blessed them. What a Mubarak maut they got. That they were in the state of Ihram and they were in Arafat and Allah Ta'ala's rahmat was descending and there was no bound to Allah Ta'ala's mercy, the reins of mercy, and Allah Ta'ala blessed them with shahadat that something happened there and they passed away. So there will be some form of pain and grief also upon the passing away of the Muslim. But at the same time, there will be a kind of internal happiness also. How many places we find, even in the Hadith Sharif we will find, that the Sahabi desired, I wish I was in his place. But when a person dies in a cinema, he dies in discos, he dies in haram places, when he dies at prostitute quarters, can a Muslim ever be desirous of such kind of death? Has anybody got a written guarantee that that can only happen in a cinema in Bangladesh? What happened in Bali? What happened in China? What happened in India? What happened in so many other parts of the world? What happened in South Africa? What happened very close to us, a few miles away from here? So has Allah Ta'ala written and given us some guarantee that if you go to that casino or you go to that cinema or you go to that theater or you go to that prostitute quarters, then death won't come there and no bomb can be thrown there and no earth can be shaken there because we got very solid steel construction. So after Ramadan, let us not play with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's anger. Let us not make Allah ta'ala angry. If we pleased Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then increase those a'mal and those actions which will increase the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So this was one thing which I can go on, but I don't want to go into very much details. Another person writes, a woman from who's working in one of the banks. She says that recently I've noticed that many Muslim brothers who come into the financial institutions do their banking, they are mostly impatient, rude, and verbal language that they use is of concern. They speak to the staff, especially the black staff, with complete contempt. As a result, many times the Muslim staff have to intervene to find out whatever the problems are causing a disruption to normal banking. And then she goes on about all the rude attitude and all that of the Muslim clients. But of course it happens, it's not only Muslims, but the fact is that here we are concerned because the Muslim was supposed to be a da'i ila Allah. His actions were supposed to be da'wat towards Allah Ta'ala. And she mentions that most of them that come there and who use this kind of language and behavior, many of them are those who have beards, who have topis, who have kurtas, and that embarrasses us even more, because when those people say that, are these your Muslims who are supposed to be pious? So one is the language that they use, and rude and impatient. And then she says another thing that happens is that they will bring bundles of notes. Now for example, if it is 200 rand notes in tar, so in between they will put in a lot of 20 rand notes. Now because you have 10,000 to count, so they don't count physically, so they put it on the machine. Now the machine doesn't pick up all the different denominations, so they clip it on and they give you a receipt and they stamp it and say, right, okay, the money is sufficient. Afterwards, when they discover they're inside that Muslim person, when he's informed, then first he puts up a big tantrum. Never, never, I can never do it like that, and you are the one that did it, and he makes a big noise. And finally, somehow, then they come to some agreement, and then they admit or they pay back. Now, this type of things, where does it take a Muslim? Where does it take a Muslim? What kind of projection of Islam are we making if we are going to behave in this manner? Now you may say that Alhamdulillah, none of us are in that category. But we are not talking about us and them. We are talking about Muslims in general. These people are not going to be concerned about a few musallis sitting in some masjid. So it's our duty that we pass this message on. And we train our children. Or if we are sending our brothers or our staff or anybody else to go and do the deposit, and he is a Muslim, and his garb also is showing him very clearly as a Muslim, so then we educate them. We tell them that, look, check this money properly. Sometimes a person trusts his own staff to do the counting and make the bundles. But that staff has taken the money, put it in his pocket. And then he bundled it up and sent it away. And then blame the teller for it. So we have to train them also. And we have to take that responsibility to see to it that it is correctly counted and then bundled and then sent off to the bank. But these are just small things. It's just the tip of the iceberg compared to the massive fraudulent dealings that are taking place, and the whole containers that disappear and the trucks that go missing. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. How can we get barakat? Where are the children then ending with that kind of haram that we are feeding them? Then you must be wait to listen to other letters in which those children from the rave clubs write and what is happening there. And they mention clearly that unfortunately our upbringing was not the best of upbringings. So there are many issues of that nature which we have to take some concern about. It's becoming a very big problem for the Muslim Ummah. We are not projecting Islam in our daily life, in our dealings with people, in our business houses, in our relationship with our staff, in our relationship with our maids, in our relationship with others. There's no Islam that is being projected. We are frustrating them. We are making them just go on and on, condemning and cursing us. So until we don't change our attitude, we are going to be facing the same problem. So the month of Ramadan was for ibadat, for zikr, for tilawat, and there was a noor that was building up. The person was getting that strength, and now suddenly he starts taking poison. So where is that strength going to go? But on the other hand, we get some very good reports also. I think I mentioned this in the last majlis or one of the Ramzan nights. Now this is a person who has written to one of the persons from whom he had stolen 2,000 rands. He says, Alhamdulillah, through the bounty and the blessings of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and listening to Maulana Yunus Patel's talks, I have come to realize that I am not living accordingly to Allah Ta'ala's commands. Therefore, fine and close, this money of 2,000 rand is in lieu of the one I stole from you quite a few years back. I have decided to change my life and try and put right all the things that I have done wrong in the past. Therefore, I am paying this money back to you in addition to ceasing to involve myself in interest in any way in future, and also defrauding anybody, including even the receiver of revenue. I beg of you to forgive me. I am quite sure that the amount I stole from you did not exceed 2,000, but if they did, then please waive the extra. If the amount was less than 2,000, then please regard as a gift from me. But the fact is that this is what we mean, that after Ramadan, this is what we should be doing. For in Ramadan, now that change came, so after Ramadan, we should continue in the direction of Tawbah, that we should fulfill the demands of Tawbah, that the Tawbah that we are making and those tears that we are shedding. Otherwise, what is the sense if a person says that I cried the whole of Ramadan, in all the du'as I cried, but after that crying, then what? Because the tears were free. It's again the same story of the dog, that person had a dog that was dying. He was sitting at the side of the dog and he was crying. He said, why are you crying? He said, because the dog is dying. So why is it dying? Because of starvation. So what have you got in the basket? He said, bread and meat. He said, why don't you give it to the dog then? He said, no, I paid for the milk and bread and for the meat and bread, but these tears are free. So we shed the tears, but after that what now? Is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala only going to look at the tears on the day of Qiyamah? or ask us that after you shed those tears, which were Mubarak tears, which were forgiveness, tears of for your forgiveness, and tears of shame and nadamat, they were such that it extinguishes the fire of Jahannam also. But then did you move in that direction after Ramadan? Or did you go in some other direction? So the test of this Ramadan, or the test of the taqwa of Ramadan, is now, when all these temptations will come before us, and especially in this month of December. You just come out of Ramadan and you are invited here and there and everywhere. There's nothing but temptation and enjoyment for the nafs, and of the haram kind also, not only of the halal kind. Halal kind is understandable, we're talking about the haram kind, where the person will say, let me just go and see, let me just go and take the children for a little bit of viewing and enjoyment. Children are getting bored at home, and that's why we let us take them there. Or bring those movies and videos and all into the homes. Then we say, what must they do then? What must the children do? The millions of years, what did the children do without the videos and movies and without the entertainment that is there? What did the children do? What did we do when these things were not around? There are many healthy games they can play. There are many healthy places that they can go and visit. There can be many places where they can entertain themselves in a halal way. Do they have to be taken to those places? But that is just an excuse. It is our nafs. We want to see it. Because we read the newspapers, or watch the television, or read some magazines, and we read all those adverts and listen to the adverts. So now the nafs, the taqaza is there. Go, go, go. And when the person goes, then what happens is very, very shocking and very frightening. Then it is very frightening. The bright lights, the dancing girls and the drugs was calling me. These feelings were so strong that after a while I stopped fighting those feelings and started to entertain and fantasize about them. I got in contact with my old druggy friends, and just by sitting in their company and listening to all their stories made my cravings grow even worse. I packed all my stuff and then ran away from home. On Saturday, I planned to have one big party and then move away to Johannesburg. And then he goes on. It's a lengthy letter, what, 7-8 page letter or 10 page letter. But then what happens? Shaves his beard off, takes his kurta off, and he's gone back into the same environment. Just for 3 or 4 days or a few days, there was some kind of great so-called change. And then just sitting again in the company of those druggy friends and listening to their stories, and the person is gone. And yet the person was a hafiz of the Quran Sharif. And he had been out in dini activities also. But he writes, my beard was gone, my kurta gone, and I went away to Joburg so that I may mix and live amongst those people who don't know me. And then he goes into those rave clubs and those cinemas, and he goes on such high. But that he says, but still, that those one or two programs, he says that the khawf of Allah was still there. That although he was gone in that line, so that's why we must not think that what is the benefit. Because the benefit was this, that still there was that little bit of khawf of Allah Ta'ala, that I am doing the wrong thing, although he was going on a high. And he realized after that there was no peace, no happiness, no nothing, no sukoon. He has to come back and get connected with Allah Ta'ala. But the frightening thing is this, that none of us, and I've repeatedly said this, must ever be satisfied with our piety and taqwa. Some of us get carried away that I am very muttaqi now. Why? Because I made namaz right through Ramadan, and I made some zikr and tilawat and ibadat. Or I went out in the jamaat and I went made tabligh and dawat. And look at the changes that have come in my life. Never ever be satisfied that the nafs has been suppressed, that now it is over. We don't know when this snake of nafs will spring back to life and bite. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must protect us. We must make a lot of tawbah and istighfar. Every day of our life we must make tawbah and istighfar. Now many people say, now what if? What do we do after Ramadan? What do we do after Ramadan? We have to do the same things that we were doing in Ramadan, although it may not be on that same level and that same scale. But the same tilawat, the same ibadat, the same zikr, the same akhlaq we have to now put into practice. We have to go about it in the same manner and stay, keep this connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala alive. Then throughout the year the person will be able to have that noor in his heart. But if our ibadat and zikr and tilawat and all our dini activities and dini works are just done in Ramadan because of all the virtues that we listen, so then this is what happens, that after Ramadan the person is gone. Now this person is talking about last Ramadan, and after that he was gone, and now again he happened to come. So this is the big problem with everyone, that what do we do after Ramadan? Stay away from those same haram things. How did we stay away from it in Ramadan? A person came here on one of the nights, and then he told me himself, he says, Maulana, with my friends we had already planned that after Ramadan we were going to go on a real high. So we're getting a little bit tired of namaz, fasting, tilawah, this. So we're planning now. After Ramadan we're a bit tired now, so we're going to go on a real high. Is we had planned, we'll go after Ramadan somewhere and go on a real high to drown all our worries. He says, I don't know how to make shukr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that I ended up here in this masjid. He's from outside, from another town, and he says, after the first program, he says, I made up my mind that I'm not going to go with those friends. And then I told those friends, I tell you all also come here. So they came here, some of them came here on the 27th, some came here on the 29th. But he said, we called off completely that plan of ours, alhamdulillah. But the lesson that they are giving to us is that there can be people who are in Ramadan doing some ibadat, fasting also, making namaz, but at the back of their minds is that when do we get out of this Ramadan so we can go back onto that same high. So how dangerous it is. Imagine the person just wants to go back. That means he's making tawbah or in the month of Ramadan, but that tawbah is not a sincere tawbah because he wants to go back to those sins. He's planning to go back to those sins. So you must make shukr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. I've got so many letters and I've got so many things to say, but we get tired of too much of nasihat also. But imagine if a person says that I pleased Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala enough now. Now for a few months, what's the if I displease him? Now do you ever find a beloved, the lover telling the beloved that I pleased you now. Now for a few months let me displease you, make you angry. And after that I'll decide whether to please you again. So that is exactly what we are saying, that oh Allah, we are trying to please you in Ramadan. And we pleased you to some extent, we made some zikr, tilawat, ibadat. But ya Allah, we are a bit tired now of this love of yours. Give us a little bit of freedom now and let us enjoy ourselves in haram entertainment, and then we'll come back again. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. Again that same example, does a fish ever get tired of this? Did the fish ever tell to the sea that I'm now tired of being in you all the time? How long am I going to remain in this water? I'm getting tired. Let me go out on the shore a little while, few days, then I'll come back again. The enjoyment of the fish is deep down in the water, not even on the surface, it must be deep down. So the enjoyment of a Muslim is to be deep down in the muhabbat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, deep down in the ocean of love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Allah ta'ala. That is the enjoyment of a Muslim. These cinemas, theatres, drugs, all alcohol and wine and women, they are all attractions there. Allah ta'ala has put all those attractions to test the believers, that who is my ashik and who is the ashik of all these perishable idols. So this scene out there is very scary, it's very bleak, and that is the reason why we say that this is the time to stay more at home than to go out. Haza zamanu sukut وملازمة البيوت بالقناعة وبالقوت. It's a time for what? Sukut. Keep quiet. Don't talk too much these days. Because one statement lights up a whole forest of argument. One statement and suddenly it's a big war in the family. So think before we make our statements. And remain as much as possible in the homes. But again, I repeat, there are many of us, we will say, well, remain at home, so what we must do at home now? So go and buy more videos. How are we going to pass our time at home now? So when the weather is very bad outside, then buy two extra and come today, because we won't be able to go out. So now the person buys two extra videos, or watch a few more programs. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Which area are we going to complain about? So brothers, make shukr on the one hand of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that if He gave us the tawfiq of making some ibadah, zikr, tilawat, dua, and shedding some tears of nadamat and repentance before Him. But if you have to only read those letters and if you have to get to know what is happening, and we are not talking about homes of people who are coming from a very poor Islamic background. That is another false impression that we have, that these are stories of people that are coming from very poor backgrounds. I'm talking about people of very, very good backgrounds, whose parents are sometimes tahajjud guzars, and their children are writing that our parents didn't have an idea of what we were doing, where we were, and money was plentiful. So let us not just point finger far away and say, well, this is happening somewhere, we don't know where it's happening. Let us look at our own backyards and our own homes and our own lives. Therefore Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Save yourselves and your family from the fire of Jahannam. That is the tartib that Allah Ta'ala has given. Yourselves first, and that's not selfishness. Save yourself first, then your families also, then the society also, and then it goes on throughout the world. But here all our concern is about the other person. What about the concern of ourselves? There are such stories that, wallah, you don't get sleep when you read those stories. You don't get sleep. How can you sleep? When young boys and girls tell you what is happening, where they went and what happened. But we get plenty of other letters also in which many people, they say for the very first time in their lives, when they spend the time correctly in this month of Ramadan, that for the very first time in their lives, that experiences that they had, it is so pleasing. One person dreams that, one person says that he was reading Tahajjud Salat here in the masjid one of those nights, and he says suddenly tears began to flow from his eyes, and for about half a minute he felt as if an angel was actually hugging him. And he says this is out of sincerity, many other things. Many other young people said never ever in their lives did they ever know what Laylatul Qadr was all about. And some of them write in the letters that they thought that now they got Laylatul Qadr on the 21st. But when I explained about the flights taking off, another person writes, he says it was the 23rd or 25th night, and I explained about the flight, that the flight of the 21st is gone, the 23rd is gone, and now make the best of the 25th, we don't know whether we'll get the next flight. So he says, I made up my mind. He says, that analogy, Molna, caught my heart, he writes there. And he says, it really touched my heart that I missed that flight, I don't know whether I'll get the next one. So I applied myself to Ibadat on the 25th night. And he says, Molna, what an experience. He says, I'm a young person from the university, and never ever in my life did I dream that I too can be blessed with such kind of an experience. And he says, I've made up my mind that those girls and those drugs and all the other evils in my life, that is the end of it. He says, the enjoyment that I got, I truly believe what you say, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala takes you on a different kind of a high, and you won't need any drugs, and this high is not going to affect you in any way. says, I enjoyed the taste of that on the 25th night, and therefore I cannot ever return to those sins. I would like to remain in that state. And that person is, mashallah, so far the person is keeping to that. Then another person is talking about the 27th night. Somebody is talking about the 29th night. And somebody is talking about almost every odd night. So it shows that it is not any one particular night that the person just makes a badan and forget about the rest. We don't know which night Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives that person in accordance with his sincerity. But those were the turning points in their lives because of those beautiful experiences. But I reply always that don't give much importance to these experiences. They are like the beautiful gardens on the destination. That we are going to Cape Town, so you're passing the garden route. So now you don't stop there just because you're passing the garden route. There's very beautiful gardens here. Your destination is Cape Town. So on the way you may find some thorn trees, you'll find some bushes, you'll find some beautiful plants and flowers, and you'll find different types of things along the line. So you carry on. But these are things to keep us going. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give me, give you, and the entire Ummah the tawfiq of making amal. The time is too limited to really go into details, but I've just given you a few pointers and indicators. Now let us take it seriously and say that now that Ramadan has ended, our lives haven't ended as yet, and we have to continue hatta ya'tiyakal yaqeen, until death comes we have to continue. So make plenty of istighfar, tawbah, stay away from those places which are bound to make the person get trapped in those sins, and then see how that enjoyment will remain in the heart, what we had in Ramadan. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم يا الله ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما خطاؤں کو معاف فرما يا الله رمضان شریف کے مبارک مہینے میں جو ہم نے عبادت تلاوت ذکر اے اللہ جو بھی دینی کام کیے اے اللہ اس کے انوارات اور برکات کو پورے سال ہمارے قلوب کے اندر محفوظ فرما اے اللہ don't cause the noor of the ibadat and zikr and tilawat to vanish from our hearts اے اللہ protect and safeguard us from going even near those places which are bound to get us trapped in the ocean of sins oh my beloved Allah the enemies of Islam are laying the dastarkhan of attractions for us اے اللہ the enemies of Islam are targeting the emerging Muslim market Where Allah, who else is there to protect us and safeguard us except you? Ya Allah, keep us far, far away from the casinos, from the discos, from the cinemas and theatres, and from the haram entertainment spots. Ya Allah, we do not know when our death will come, where it will come, and how it will come. We are reading of cinemas being bombed. Oh Allah, we are reading of so many night spots being bombed. Oh Allah, we are reading of so many other places suffering disasters. Ya Allah, don't let us be anywhere near those scenes. Ya Allah, protect us and protect the entire ummah from death in any kind of a haram action or deed. Ya Allah, forgive our major sins and minor sins. Forgive the sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly. Forgive the sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. اے میرے پیارے اللہ تو ہماری حفاظت فرما تو ہماری حفاظت فرما ہر قسم کے گناہوں سے حفاظت فرما ہمیں عافیت نصیب فرما سلامتی عطا فرما صحت عافیت سلامتی نصیب فرما اے اللہ ہمیں دین بھی دے اور دنیا بھی دے bless us with the best of this world and the best of آخرہ اللہم انا نسألک من خیر ما سألک منہ نبیک و حبیبک سیدنا محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه ونور عرشه سيدنا ونبينا وشفينا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين